Cool. Well, today I want to talk to you guys about extraordinary measures for extraordinary times. You know, because it really is an amazing time we live in. I mean, think about it. I mean, we live in one of the most exciting, amazing, awesomest times in the entire world. You know, I mean, who has an old cell phone they hate? That you know, you like a Go phone, or you're like, man, I hate this stupid phone. It's like, you know, and some of you guys probably, if you guys have a Razor, that's a still cool. That's still, no, it's all right. If you have a Razor, it's cool. You know. It's okay if you don't have an iPhone or like a Hero or something like that. You know, it's all right. It's right. It doesn't need to be touch screen. I mean, every phone's a touch phone. You touch the buttons, right? Boop, 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 boop. That's a joke. But you know, they say that like even a simple cell phone now in these days has numerous more times. It's so much more superior. In its computing power, the most basic simple phone that you can have in your pocket today has numerous times over the computing power than all the computers that they put inside of the Apollo spaceship that took us to the moon. I mean, you have in your pocket more computing power than fit inside of a huge space vehicle that took men to the moon and back in your pocket that you use to make phone calls. I mean, think about that. Could you imagine that? It would be easier for you to use your cell phone to get to the moon today than it did 40 years of dozens of scientists to send guys to the moon. I mean, and it took rooms and rooms of computers that used tape and different things like that took these guys to the moon. And now it's in your pocket, and it's superior to what they used 40 years ago. It's amazing. I mean, that's the times we live in. I mean, does anybody watch the news? Who watches the news? CNN, NBC in the morning, good morning. Who does not watch the news? Who says the news is for old people like Pastor Richard who are lame and nerds? You guys suck. Okay, well, let me educate you a little bit. Because if you don't know what's going on in the world, I mean, and maybe you're talking about this in social studies or history class, but, you know, there's a lot of really crazy things going on in the world today. And I think, you know, we talk about some of this stuff, you know, we've mentioned some of this stuff, and, you know, and some of this stuff, you would have to be living underneath a rock to not know these things. But we live in absolutely extraordinary times. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 5. But the times we live in are pretty nuts. I mean, over the past several years, America's been going through this recession, of course. And, you know, it's been spreading across the entire world. You know, just over the past couple weeks, you know, the country, the nation, the entire country of Greece has either filed or is on the brink of filing bankruptcy. A nation, a country, Spain and Portugal are right there too. These are entire countries saying we have no more money. America is tanking as far as economy goes. You know, you have two huge, massive earthquakes in Haiti. All of a sudden, you know, within 2 weeks of each other, you have two huge earthquakes happening in the country of Chile. You look all throughout the nation of Africa. There's certain countries in Africa that 30 to 40% of the entire nation's people are infected with AIDS. And in 10, 15 years, 30 to 40% of the population will be dead or close to death because of a disease in their blood. I mean, you look in other nations in Africa that there's no law. You look in the nation of Somalia, there's no government there except for maybe like a 5x5 square mile block of a city inside of an entire nation that has law. The only place in the entire nation that has law. And the rest of the nation is run by gangs, by drug lords, and by pirates who are capturing boats with assault rifles. You know, you look at other nations in Africa, and they have entire armies built up, you know, of children, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, with assault rifles and machetes, killing and massacring entire villages of children that would here go to Raceway and Seaside, armies built with these kinds of people, children. And then you look in America, you know, I mean, it's the same thing because you either know or know of or see people who are in gangs, teenagers selling drugs, weed, meth, you know, I mean, they have to lock up at Target and grocery stores, Sudafed, so people don't build meth labs. You know, and we have gangs running rampant. You have drive-bys happening, children getting shot. I mean, you have in America, in this city, you have underground sex trades of people kidnapping kids and selling them across the world as prostitutes. Now I know this is a Pastor Richard, man, you're pretty depressing. I mean, can I leave now? No, I'm going somewhere. No, go with me. I mean, this is the world we're living in. And you know, and this is probably one of the reasons why you guys probably shouldn't watch the news, because you like wanna just quit by the end of the day by watching it. You know, I went to Starbucks today talking to one of the baristas I know there, and I said, how's the youth ministry you're at going? I said, well, we had to let our youth pastor go because the church doesn't have any money. So we don't have a youth pastor anymore. I talked to her 2 weeks ago. Things were going great. And now this church lost their youth pastor. What a horrible predicament to be in. I mean, how blessed are we as a church to be able to do the things that we do? I think of all these crazy things going on. And I think, gosh, these are extraordinary times. These are extraordinary times that we live in. You know, the Bible says near the end days, you hear of wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters. You hear of all these chaos, people who are lovers of themselves, and people hate their parents. And you hear of all these things that are going on. And it's like, wow, this is, we live in a pretty crazy time. I mean, it's a wonder, you know, we can even keep our heads straight knowing these things. And we go home and we open our refrigerator and we see all this food. We go to school and we know that whether you love them or hate them, you have security guards at your school. Where in other nations, that idea of law is foreign to them, to where people can do whatever they want without being protected by the government. You know, and it's kind of crazy. In Romans 5, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says this, verse 5:20-21, it says, moreover, the law, God's rule, God's instruction, God's law entered that the offense might abound. You know, God gave us his rules to show us how far off we were from what we're supposed to do. I mean, without God speaking to us the way it's supposed to be, we would never know the way things are supposed to be. And we would be in a worse condition than we even are now. It says, God's law came in to show us that the offense may abound. But it says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded all the much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness, or living a life for God, to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, even though all these wild, crazy, horrible, disgusting, raunchy things are going on in the world, the Bible tells us right here that where sin abounds, grace, God's goodness, God's power, God's love, God's ability is even stronger. So if all these horrible things are happening in the world, there has to be something even greater at work. You know, I think about it, and I think it's pretty darn amazing. Because, you know, you can say, well, this world is going horrible. The church is, you know, the truth of the matter is the church is doing great. You know, people who call themselves Christian, I believe, are doing amazing. I think, as horrible as things are, we need to realize that whenever there's great evil, there's always great godliness. You know, I look at you guys and I think, you know what? This is a generation that's rising up who's going to do something. A generation that refuses to stay quiet about these issues. You know, I hear stories across the nation of these things going on. I hear stories of 16, 17, 18-year-olds making a difference, traveling the world, speaking at conferences, raising funds to end slavery in other nations, raising millions of dollars. You know, I mean, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I see some of them already. You know, if you guys are wearing Tom's shoes, Blake Mikoski, the founder of Tom's Shoes, was a contestant on The Amazing Race, I think it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. And he goes to another country and sees these things. This man, a Christian man, decides that I see what's going wrong and I want God's grace to work in me. So he makes this corporation, this company that sells shoes. And for every pair of shoes that you buy, he sends a pair of shoes. They take a pair of shoes to these nations so these children don't have to get diseases on their feet. They can have shoes. Christian man. You know, you may not know that, but he's a Christian who's doing these things for the glory of God. You see, all of a sudden, God's grace begins to rise up where these things happen. You know, I think of people who've graduated out of the youth ministry. You know, I love talking about her, Beth. You know, my sister-in-law, Beth, who's in Uganda. You know, she posted a video just the other day about showing the children she's taking care of. These children who have AIDS, these children whose parents have been massacred, mauled, murdered, who they don't know where they're at. You know, their villages have been destroyed. And she's taking care of these little babies. You know, they're no bigger. If you look at the picture, I can show you the pictures. You know, the pictures are, they're these children are no bigger than a bottle of water. They're as big as a bottle of water, fit inside your hand. And they're nursing these children back to life. Children who have been abandoned. Children they pick up in the hospitals that are just covered in horrible just yuck. And they rescue them. And all of a sudden, where sin abounds, God's grace comes in. I think of you know, another teenager raised in this youth ministry, Kelsey. You know, she's off in Oklahoma. She's going to Bible college so she can do amazing things for God. I think of teenagers. I hear stories from you guys where, you know, one teenager in the middle of her class says, asks the teacher if she can say something, gets up in the middle of class, walks to the front of the stage and gives an altar, or front of the classroom and gives an altar call in the middle of her class in a public school, and students get saved in the middle of class. And the teacher doesn't even stop her. In the middle of class, says, can I speak to the class? She walks up to the front of the class and gives an altar call. The teacher's like, cool. You know, all of a sudden, where sin abounds, grace, God's ability, God's wonderfulness, God's power inside of us abounds even that much more. You know, whenever there's been pressure in the world, the church has always risen up to counter it. No matter how difficult things have gotten, the church, God's people have always risen up to do even greater things. You know, it's kind of funny because sometimes it takes difficult things to make the church rise up and do difficult things. And I don't know how difficult your life is. Maybe your life is easy. Maybe your life is difficult. Maybe your day just sucked. Sometimes it takes difficult situations to make us, to cause us to rise up and do difficult things. Maybe it's time that we ask for God to bring us difficult situations. Say, God, my life is a little too easy right now. I need something difficult to happen to me so I can do something miraculous through your power. You know, I think of all these amazing things. I mean, I mean, talking to some of you guys about how you guys have college plans to do this. And I want to be, you know, I was talking to Julia says, I want to be an anthropologist. And I want to be an anthropologist and learn about people so I can be a missionary and change people's lives across the nations. You know, it's just so cool to see God's grace working and God's power, to see God's hope working inside of you. It says where sin abounds, so grace abounds even more inside of us. You know, in 2 Timothy, I have to take one more verse and then we're gonna pray and we're going to get into some stuff because I want to pray tonight because it's Sunday night. In 2 Timothy 4, let's get there. This is a letter that, and I love 1 and 2 Timothy. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a young man in ministry. That's kind of like you and me. I mean, you may think, well, I'm not a pastor. Well, you know, so what if you're not? Who cares if you're not a pastor? Who says you got to be a pastor to do something? This is a young man, younger than a lot of the people around him in ministry, changing people's lives. That's like you. It's like me. Young people doing God's ministry. And this letter is pretty much, you could even say this letter is written directly to you. And he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. See, what God just said right here is, I charge you because God cares how you live your life. That's why he's going to judge. He's going to say, okay, well, you did this, this was good, this wasn't so good. You know, God's judging us because he cares how you live. God wants you to know he so desperately cares about the decision you're going to make after church, about the decision you're going to make during spring break, about the decisions you make in school and out of school with your parents and your brothers and sisters, with your friends. God cares about these decisions. That's why he says, I'm going to judge. Because I want you to make the right decisions. He says, I charge you to make the right decisions. He says, preach the word and be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. It says when people don't want to hear the truth. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up and find people for themselves. They will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll find people who say the things they want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables, myths, lies, and the things that they want to hear. It says, but you need to be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, which means share the word. Get the word out and fulfill your ministry. Because I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. He's saying there's things, Timothy, that you can do that I can't do, that I will not be able to do. This is Paul the Apostle. This guy wrote a majority of the New Testament. And he says, Timothy, as amazing as people may think I am, there's things that you can do that I can't do. So you need to do them. Because if you don't do them, nobody else will. So he says this, I'm already being poured out. My time is done. I'm getting out of here. I'm old. Some dudes are coming to cut my head off because that's what happened to him. He says, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And he says, look, my time's done. So there's crazy times going on. And and the Bible tells us right here that there are crazy times going on. Extraordinary times. Times like never before to where you can hop online and talk to people on every continent, including Antarctica. Because there's like scientists there. So I'm sure if you knew their number, you could call them on the, you know, because you think about it, you could talk to somebody. I mean, you know, scientists in Antarctica looking at the penguins and stuff like that. I don't know. But you know, you could. You really could right now. If you knew the people, you could. You know, I know right now I could talk to people on 4 continents. I'm 5. I could talk to people on 5 continents right now. 6. I could talk to people on 6 continents right now. Yeah. If I wanted to go to church. I'm so excited. I know that many people. If I wanted to. These are extraordinary times where you could do that. If I could do it, I know you could do it. These are the times we live in. Where sin abounds, grace so much more. Where it says right here, be watchful. And it says, what he's saying is this. Is if you want to do these things, you can't live just an everyday life. You've got to live a life that's striving to be so much more than what this world's offered you. So much more than just what your parents have offered you. No, I think you got your parents. But I want a life that's bigger than what my parents lived. My little boy, Carter, I want him to have a bigger life than me. I want him to be able to stand on my shoulders of everything that I've done and go farther than I've ever gone before. That's what I want for my little boy. Because I think about it, when my kid is your age, when my kid is 12, 13, 14 years old, what's the world going to be like with him? Where are things going to be? What's the technology going to be like? Where's America going to be? Where's Europe? Where's Australia? Where's Asia going to be in 10 years, 15 years? You know, I have to live an extraordinary life. I have to live a life that's bigger than myself. I have to live a life that is absolutely dialed up to number 10. To prepare the world for my children. Because, you know, truth is, they're going to need a youth pastor. And if I'm not going to be here, who of you is going to be my child's youth pastor? You know what I'm saying? And when my grandkids, they're going to need a children's pastor. So who's going to be my grandkids' children's pastor? Who is it? I mean, who in this room wants to be my grandchild? I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, seriously, these are the things that we need. These are the things we need. When Beth comes back from Africa, who's going to go over there and take care of those children after her? You know, with all the girls who are slaves to these things in Singapore, who is going to go there and rescue these little girls? Who is going to go down Guthrie Street in San Bernardino and change the way things are going? Who's going to go into Rev next year and say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of this, and I think things need to change? Who? Because my time's done there. I can't do it, but you can. Who? You know, he says, be watchful. Endure afflictions. Do the work of the ministry and fulfill it. Fulfill it. Do something different. Live a life bigger than yourself. Want more than you've ever wanted before. You know, in China, there's two churches in China. The registered church that says whatever the government tells them to say. And then there's the underground church. The registered church is very small in China. They can only say what the government approves for them to say. But the underground church is huge. It's massive. And if the Chinese police find an underground church, they find the pastor, they throw him in jail without charging him for anything. They might let him out in a couple years, beat him, torture him, burn the house down. They might destroy and thrash the church. These are the things that happen. But the underground church is huge, tens of millions of people, large. And we know this because we know people, and this church knows of people who are in Bible training courses, underground, smuggling Bibles in. You know, my other sister, Leah, you know, when she was a teenager, she smuggled Bibles into China She broke just about every law in China, every trade law there was, pretty much. And she smuggled Bibles into China as a teenager. These are the things she did. On the threat of being deported, on the threat of being beat, on the threat of getting pastors in trouble by these things, living lives bigger than themselves. You know, sometimes we need a little bit of persecution in our lives. We need to endure affliction. Sometimes we need to step on people's toes and do the difficult thing to live a life of extraordinary measure. I mean, the world's not getting any easier, so why should our faith? The last one here is Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Let's go from here. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, the Bible says this. It says, therefore, we have to give more earnest heed. We have to dig deeper into this faith, to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away. Because if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, that every transgression, disobedience received a just reward, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him, God bearing witness both with signs and wonders, miracles, with various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. See, what God's telling us is that it costs so much for us to be called Christians. God himself living, dying on a cross. So how are we going to get away with saying we're going to give our heart to God and living a life that's not worthy of it? Wouldn't that just be a shame to neglect Jesus' death on the cross? To live a life that's small? To live a life that fades in the background? To live a life that just looks like everything else? How could we neglect something? That's like getting a big old fatty like 120 gigabyte iPod and putting one song on it. Like seriously. Get a cassette tape and just, you know, put that sucker on. You know, I mean, seriously. Like to have all that information to put one song on that iPod? I mean, make me want to slap you and take it from you. I'll put more songs on that you ever. I don't have a lot of songs, but some of you guys have like weeks worth of songs. You guys are crazy. But you know, that's exactly what it is. So how could we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? How could we call ourselves a Christian and live a life with just one song on it? How could we live a life that only does small things? You know, the Bible says don't neglect, don't misuse, don't ignore everything God's given you. Because he says, if you really mean this, then your life will do these things, to have signs and wonders and miracles. And when you pray, God answers it. And all of a sudden, you know, when you believe God for big things, he causes them to happen. All of a sudden, the Bible says that if we do these things, if we refuse to let our Christianity just fade into the background, if we choose to live a life that really, 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 really means what we believe, then all of a sudden, all this crap that's going on in the world will fade to the background, and God's goodness will overshadow all the evil. Because whenever something horrible comes in your life, you can bring God's goodness, which makes things look so much bigger. You know, next time you have an argument with your parents, what would happen if you didn't neglect Jesus Christ and you brought God's goodness into the argument instead of yelling and slamming the door in your mom's face? What would happen if instead of neglecting what Jesus gave you, you had self-control, and you prayed, and you thanked your parents, and you told them how much you loved them, and you rose up in love? Next time the police get on your case when you aren't doing anything wrong, instead of calling them names, oinking at them, running from them for no reason, I hear stories. I know. What would happen if you're respectful? What would happen next time you see students at your school everybody else is making fun of? What if you were to do something different? And instead of ignoring it and saying, that's none of my business, I don't want to get wrapped up in this stuff, what if you did something about it? What if you did something about it? What would happen? Sure, it's not Africa. Sure, it's not Singapore. Sure, you're not talking to the president. But if I can't even do those little things, how can we expect the big things? Say, God, send me to another nation when I can't even do anything in my own household. I mean, these are the things we're talking about. How dare we neglect? How dare I, the youth pastor, neglect so great a salvation by living such a life that's small? Tonight, let's pray big things. Tonight, let's believe God for big things. Tonight, let's believe God for people to get healed. Tonight, let's believe God for them to come into church. Let's believe God to heal our parents. If you feel like your parents are unfair and doing stupid things, let's believe God to heal them so they don't do stupid things. Let's believe God to do something to your school and change it. Let's believe God to send you to China. Let's believe God to send you to the uttermost parts of the world. Let's believe God to help you get that scholarship. And let's do so much more than put one song on a 120 gigabyte iPod. Let's believe God. I mean, let's do this. Let's not waste God's availability. Let's do this. We live in crazy times. But in a crazy world, the church can be even twice as crazy. Let's do this.